I decided to run for the presidency in Somalia because it's a moral obligation. It's a civic duty that is incumbent on each and every Somali. I take that responsibility very seriously. I have waited for the past 26 years for a leadership that would enable the 1.5 million Somalis in the diaspora to go back, you know, the 1.2 million who are internally displaced to also find, you know, a dignified existence in the country. And that hasn't been forthcoming. So I've decided to come forward because I believe I have those leadership qualities. And actually, if I stay at the sidelines, hoping for some miracle to happen, for someone to come and do that, it would never happen. So as a Somali who sees her life is a vocational calling, it's a moral obligation that we must do this. It's a civic duty incumbent on all Somalis to ensure that we put a stop to the bloodshed and we move the country progressively and peacefully forward.
How likely is it that you could win?
We have more than 18 candidates. The number is increasing by the day. And none of these candidates feel that they're going to be the ones who win. Nothing is certain in Somalia, particularly in Somali politics. And so everything is up in the air. And no one can say with 100% certainty that they will be the next president of Somalia.
How difficult is it for a woman to be accepted in Somali society as a presidential candidate?
I think it's as difficult as American woman being accepted as American female president. And female candidates experience the same problems that Hillary Clinton is experiencing in the States. And so I think this is a global phenomenon. You know, women in leadership positions, particularly, you know, in higher leadership positions, are often seen as a threat and can be marginalized, or people try to ensure that they don't enter that space. And I think the more women come forward, the easier it is for us to, you know, break down this door and get in.
And you're not just facing the problems of being a woman in a leadership position. You've also faced death threats for running. Does that worry you?
No, it doesn't worry me. Of course, it is very strange that just by the virtue of me stepping forward to claim my rightful place in Somali society, that one would take this as an affront and as a result would want to issue death threats. To me, that is, you know, the highest form of flattery that one can pay me. You know, from all these running candidates, you know, for me to be the one that gets this kind of threat, I think, you know, shows that these people know what I can bring to the country. They understand, can see the leadership qualities that I have, and that my chances would be high had we had democratic elections. And I think it's precisely this fear that is causing them to issue death threats. But I am not scared of cowards, because these people are cowards for them to make this kind of threats, particularly because I happen to be a woman who is running for the leadership position in Somalia. If that is the only reason why they're issuing death threats, and I think they should get the message that it doesn't work on me. It's not going to stop me from doing what I'm going to do inside the country. And I will do that. I will bring those changes.
You've lived away for so long. Can you imagine living back in Somalia full time?
I have lived away from Somalia like so many other Somalis. I mentioned 1.5 Somalis are in the diaspora, not because they wish to be in the diaspora, but because of the insecurity inside the country. This is an insecurity that, if tackled seriously, could be mitigated and even prevented. As long as we have a government that is not functional, that doesn't address the socioeconomic inequities that the country has, then we will have entities like Al-Shabaab using that as a driver and recruiting young people to join them. You will find pirates doing the same and the militias doing the same. So we need to tackle this and ensure that we have a government, a functional one, which caters to the Somalis so that we will be able to prevent terrorism and terrorist entities recruiting children and the youth. In terms of being away from the country for long, you find that almost 70% of the people in government hold dual citizenships. They're from the diaspora. So for someone to come from the diaspora and run for the presidency inside the country is not seen as something that is abnormal. It's actually the norm. A lot of the candidates are from the diaspora. And I hope that as a result of going back, that I will be there for longer then is probably the norm. Most people would go in, you know, just for the election period or the selection period, and then they would leave. My hope is that I'm going to stay there longer, because what I seek to do is not just to vie for the presidency, it is actually to instigate social change inside the country. And that calls for setting up structures that can tackle corruption, that can tackle human rights violations, that can push the country forward, ensuring that it is democratized, and that can hold whichever leadership that comes into office accountable. But also tackling corruption, human rights-based, you know, human rights violations, and, you know, working on good governance, the democratization of Somalia.